listening to the New Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM, 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Good evening to our listeners. This is Eben. Thank God for another Saturday. Thank you for tuning in. I believe it's a little difficult for those online this evening. The streaming isn't working well, so pardon us, but it will be uploaded to spiritissues.info. So subsequently, those who miss it will be able to listen to it online as well. All right, thank you and good evening. I'm Eben. From now till 9 p.m., I'll be with you as we go through some of the news, the things happening in the world, the events, the things which, you know, the world is something else these days, you know. And then we would continue the parenting challenges. Pastor Roger will join by phone as well. All right, so let's get to the news. Where this week, then I realized that one person can change the world either positively or negatively, because when Trump won the elections, like, the hope of the wars are going to, you know, minimize and all that. Then this week we had this shock and surprise that Joe Biden gives go ahead to Ukraine to start using long-range U.S. weapons in Russia. I mean, to fire long-range weapons into Russia territory. And this is a major escalation, because so this headline says Biden's last-minute permission to strike deep inside Russia divides Europe. Another says Biden authorizes Ukraine to use long-range U.S. weapons in Russia. So this is a big game changer, which has ruffled feathers. And so Putin also fired on Thursday a new mid-range weapon not used before, and as a warning that, you know, and the serious part of it is Russia has changed their doctrine on the use of nuclear. So what it means is that the conditions under which would trigger the usage of nuclear weapons by Russia, the conditions have been lowered in terms of the threshold, the conditions. So things that would require Russia to react with nuclear weapons, it's now a bit lesser in terms of previously. And what has happened now can trigger the use of nuclear weapon by Russia. So this headline too says Putin isn't bluffing. We are walking into disaster, Serbia's president warns, as Poland says threat of global conflict is real. And that's quite worrying. So Serbia's president has issued a stark warning regarding the ongoing Russian-Ukraine conflict, claiming that Vladimir Putin is not bluffing about the potential use of nuclear missiles. And I think one former Ukrainian let me look for that news item, because I didn't save it to use, but I think it's just to make a reference to it. He also said something that's quite interesting. Okay, I think I've located it. Yeah. So the danger is the world thought things were going to cool down, but somebody is intentionally pouring petrol into the fire, and this is quiet. So he says the World War III has begun, and that's a quite an ominous warning. Ukraine ex-military chief says as North Korea, Iran and China stand with Putin. So Ukraine's former military chief has warned that World War III is already underway with Vladimir Putin, autocratic allies, North Korea, Iran and China openly supporting his forces on the battlefield. And this is quite worrying. This is indeed, because, you know, when you have these big players aligning and doing things in common, and it's interesting how instead of de-escalating the issue, it seems others want the thing to really go on. So UK Prime Minister too has given the go ahead, and so this headline from Daily Mail says Britain's military is ready to fight Russia tonight. UK military chief Stark warning after Putin declared we are now directly involved in Ukraine war. So a top military official has declared the British army will be ready to fight Vladimir Putin's forces tonight if Russia were to invade another European nation in addition to Ukraine. Lieutenant General Sir Bob McGowan, the deputy chief of British Defence Staff, told the House of Commons Defence Committee yesterday afternoon, if the British army was asked to fight tonight, it would fight tonight. I don't think anybody in this room should be under any illusion that if the Russians invaded Eastern Europe tonight, then we would meet them in that fight. His bold statement followed hours after Russians ambassador to UK warned that Ukraine's use of Storm Shadow missiles on Russian territory means Britain is now directly involved in this war. This firing cannot happen without NATO staff, British staff as well, Andrey Kellen told Sky News this afternoon, a day after British-made rockets battered a military base in Russia's Kursk region. However, McGowan's declaration belies the state of UK's military capabilities. In May, he acknowledged that British soldiers would run out of ammunition and equipment in a war against Putin's Russia in less than 2 months. And you say you are ready to fight. You know, it's interesting how politicians can do things at the whims of their own selfish interest without considering the dangers associated with their decisions. See, so the Prime Minister gives the go ahead that Russia can Zelensky's Ukraine can use the British missiles, but see, when war comes, he is not going. It's the soldiers that will go. You know, France has also given the go ahead, they can use their long range missiles. But Germany has been wise. They say, no, they are not giving long-range missiles to Ukraine to use against Russia. You know, it's interesting how some are warmongers who just want war at all costs without considering the fact that there are consequences. So in the Nordic part of Europe, the Nordic, regions, that's Norway, Sweden, Denmark, there's a lot of tension in all those places because this issue of, you know, the missile that Russia fired on Thursday to Ukraine in retaliation for all that is happening as a warning, it can reach mainstream Europe in terms of UK, Italy, France, all those places. Roughly around 15 minutes, UK can be reached if that missile is fired. An ICBM type is fired. This is all. One article I read on Daily Mail was saying that mainstream or mainland Europe now is just minutes away from any attack from Russia if they so decide to attack. If they fire these missiles within 15 minutes, 16, maximum 17 minutes, it reaches the UK or France and all these places. And the question is, are they prepared? No. In Russia now, bomb shelters they have bomb shelters already. And they are being prepared in cities and all. When I saw the news, I said, no, these people know what they are about and they know what is coming. And the news presenter was asking, so in the US, do they have bomb shelters? In the UK, do they have bomb shelters? You know, before you go for war and talk about war, you should know how you can protect your citizens and what you do. But UK, you don't have bomb shelters. They say you want to go to war with Russia that can fire nuclear missile against you, then what do you do then? It's they just give unnecessary stress and pressure on people, because now people are worried. Meanwhile, the politicians are sleeping soundly. Okay, so we have the Australia news also. You know, this world is something, but okay, I think I'll get to that one afterwards. But let me just get to the ICC. So we got this news this week. International Criminal Court issues arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. this world, eh? You know, so after all that the Hamas, Hezbollah and all this we have been doing, they found it worthy of issuing an arrest warrant against Netanyahu and then the former defense minister, Yoav Gallant. So, and then a senior Hamas official. And this senior Hamas official, Israel has already killed. So, You just wonder sometimes, well, yesterday they were saying, the ICC was saying that, oh, okay, they are yet to get their confirmation of the death of the Hamas official that was also indicted, also to be arrested. But in essence, this limits Netanyahu's movement to some countries, because UK's Prime Minister has openly said that if he comes there, they will arrest him, and because they are signatories to the ICC, and America, has opposed it, because America is, it's not a signatory to ICC, and Joe Biden has criticized it that no, they still stand by Israel. But, you know, it shows the double standards that we have, the anti-Semitism, the anti-Israel and all that that we are seeing, because the October 7th action that happened last year and the aftermath of it, Israel's retaliation and brutal attacks and all that, there is a cause. You see, if you look at all that happened, Israel has a legitimate reason to retaliate. They are a sovereign nation and they have a right to retaliate. Some may see it as extreme and whatever, but the extremities of the Hamas actions to, that one, it seems the ICC and the liberal global system seems to be blinded about that one. They don't want to, they pretend as if the Hamas actions weren't as deadly as it was. You know, but that's the double standardness. But Israel is like, hey, when they do it, it's like the biggest crime has been committed. So now they say Netanyahu is wanted, so that means he can't travel to some places anyway. But you know, after when it happens this way, they know that, well, they will just limit themselves, they will be wise in their movements, they won't go to every country that they know they are on enemy zone. Or they are not friendly with, like South Africa, for instance. The way the South Africa government hates Israel and all, it's up to ask myself, what is their interest? Anyway, so we have this one that says 2,400 anti-Christian hate crimes reported in Europe. Wow, that's interesting. Anti-Christian hate crimes in Europe reached a total of 2,444 incidents in 2023, according to a report that compiled data from police and civil society sources across 35 European countries. The statistics include 232 personal attacks on Christians, ranging from harassment and threats to physical violence. At least 1,230 anti-Christian hate crimes were allegedly committed by 10 of the European governments in 2023, an increase from 1,029 in 2022, said the report, titled Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians in Europe, Report 2024 by OIDAC Europe, a watchdog organization. These incidents took place in countries including France, Germany, and UK, which experienced some of the highest numbers of recorded incidents, according to the report, which draws on data from various sources, including the OSCE's, that's Observatory on Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians, Office for Democratic Institutions and Human Rights, or ODIHR, and government reports. France saw nearly 1,000 anti-Christian hate crimes in 2023. The majority of these attacks, about 90%, were aimed at churches and cemeteries. Further, French authorities documented 84 personal attacks on individuals. A notable incident involved two nuns in Nantes who left the city in March 2023 due to ongoing hostility, stating that they endured beatings, spitting, and insults. In January 2023, arsonists attacked four churches in Paris using Molotov cocktails, which was highlighted by the French Religious Heritage Observatory, an organization that also observed a rise in criminal arson incidents since 2023. The UK also faced a significant number of incidents, with 702 cases reported in England and Wales between April 2023 and March 2024. This represented a 15% increase compared to the previous year. One particular shocking attack occurred against Javed Nouri, a Christian convert from a Muslim background who narrowly survived an attempted murder by his roommate, who viewed him as an apostate who deserved to die. Then we have Germany witnessed 105% increase in anti-Christian hate crimes, rising from 135 incidents in 2022 to 277 in 2023. However, German government official statistics only include politically motivated hate crimes, excluding vandalism or arson attacks without political motives. And then it goes on and on. Then we get to this part that also says that the report also listed a number of restrictions on religious freedom affecting Christians in Europe. These restrictions included fines and prosecutions for individuals engaging in public prayer, such as the instance of a man in UK convicted for silently praying in his mind near an abortion clinic within a designated buffer zone. The report also pointed to discrimination against Christians in public life and workplace. Christian politicians in particular have faced discrimination for their personal beliefs, sometimes being forced to choose between their political careers and their faith. This type of workplace discrimination, along with other pressures, has led to an increasing trend of self-censorship among Christians, particularly younger individuals who often hide their beliefs to avoid confrontation or harassment, it noted. That's very unfortunate. This is Europe, a developed area, part of this world, and yet Christianity is under serious attack. Interesting. All right, this one, we go to India. Fresh violence erupts in Manipur, India, as Christian-Hindu tensions escalate. 20 people have died in the past 2 weeks as ethno-religious violence resurges in India's northeastern state of Manipur, where Christians and Hindus remain locked in devastating conflict that has displaced more than 60,000 people since 2023 May. The latest outbreak of violence between the majority Hindu Maites and the minority Christian Kukis has shattered hopes of peace in the region, with churches burned, children killed, and security forces struggling to maintain order. The conflict has effectively segregated the two communities, forcing 50,000 Kuki Christians to flee the Imphal Valley and 10,000 Maites to abandon their homes in the Kuki majority areas. The recent surge in violence erupted in Jiribam near Assam border after a series of retaliatory killings that began with the murder of a young Kuki Christian woman found in the river. Tensions escalated dramatically after the Christian teacher and mother of three was killed and burned in an attack by the Maites, leading to a deadly confrontation between the armed Kukis and security forces that killed 10 Kuki assailants. Wow. Okay, then we go to Uganda. Uganda and their persecution against Christians is something new. Okay, this headline says, Christian convert murdered by Muslim brothers for refusing to denounce his faith in Christ. Wow. You know, sometimes when you read these things, you just ask yourself, but how come we are always being told to serve the same God? If we serve the same God, why would we have to kill one another if we don't believe? I mean, clearly there's something missing somewhere, and clearly it can't be, because then there should be no conflict if it's the same. A Muslim teacher at an Islamic school in eastern Uganda who became a Christian on October 4th was subsequently murdered on 21st October, according to area sources. Wajala Hamidu was a teacher at Swidiki Islamic School in Nankoma in the Bugri district, 4 kilometers from his home in Masita village, where his brothers beat him to death after learning he had put his faith in Christ. The sources said Hamidu was 32 years. What I find outrageous is to kill your own blood brother. I mean, come on. It's serious, though. It tells you the forces at play are very strong. To kill your brother because he has left your faith. You don't believe in the same thing. So you are killing him? No. It's Hamidu converted to Christianity on 4th October. Evangelistic event in Bulanga that he attended with his brother Wulasiu Swamadu. As Hamidu remained after the event for further Christian teaching, Swamadu returned home and told other Muslim family members about his conversion, and said that said an area source who spoke with the villagers and Christian sources. Word of Hamidu's new faith spread quickly in the Masita and at the school, where the head teacher learned of it and planned to fire him at the end of the school term, the source said. On October 21st, four of his brothers arrived at the school led by He Sifu and Hawumba Jamada and found Hamidu teaching, he said. After his brothers had a long meeting with the administrators, the school officials gave them permission to take him and his belongings back to his home village of Masita, the source said. Upon their arrival, he said the brothers ordered Hamidu to renounce Christ, but he refused. Wow. Isifu slapped him as the other brothers looked for a stick to beat him with the 39 blows they believed Islam prescribes for apostates, said the area's Christian source. We heard a very loud cry, wailing, and alarm that required help and attention. So neighbors thronged in large numbers to the scene of the incident, the source told Morning Star News. When we arrived, we found Hamidu on the ground, held tightly by his three brothers, bleeding as the brothers were shouting, "Infidel, infidel, shame, shame to our family." Hamidu's mother stood nearby shouting for help, but no one dared to defy the Muslims and their vigilante administration of Sharia Islamic law, the source said. Uganda's constitution and other laws provide for religious freedom, including the right to propagate one's faith and convert from one faith to another. Soon he was dead and lying in a pool of blood, the source said. He had deep injuries in the head and chest from a sharp object that hit him. The source said he called the police, who soon arrived, and the brothers fled. Local council security members were still searching for the four brothers who remain missing since killing Hamidu, according to the reports. Worldwide, Islamic jurists believe Sharia, which is derived from the Quran and Hadith, a collection of teachings, sayings, and deeds of Muhammad and the Sunnah, the body of traditions and about the practices of by Muhammad, holds that apostasy is a crime that should be punished by death. So police took Hamidu's body to Bugiri for autopsy, and his family later received it for burial. The attack marked the second killing of a Christian convert in eastern Uganda in October. Muslim extremists on October 30th killed evangelist Emmanuel Dusuka, a 29-year-old father of three, after he helped lead 18 Muslims to Christ at an event in Kalilo district and refused their demand to return to Islam. The killing of Hamidu was the latest of many instances of persecution of Christians in Uganda that Morning Star News has documented. Muslims make up more than 12% of Uganda's population, with high concentrations in eastern areas of the country. Wow, 12%. Interesting. You know, sometimes you read these things, you see these news items, the persecution against Christians, and then when you hear what some Christians say, it just makes you wonder. The literacy is interesting. All right, so we go to the U.S. This is quite interesting. Christian voters swayed the 2024 presidential election, according to data. This is very interesting because, you know, so this one says self-identified Christian voters are being credited with making a difference in the outcome of the 2024 presidential election, as data show that the faithful overwhelmingly backed President-elect Donald Trump, according to a new report. George Banner, the director of Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, published a report last week highlighting the findings of his organization's post-election research conducted in 3 days following the November 5th election. Data included in the report is based on extensive interviews with a national sample of 2,000 voting age adults. The survey had a margin of error of plus or minus 3 percentage points. The main finding from the report is that self-identified Christians helped deliver the White House to Trump, the Republican presidential nominee who defeated Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris. Among self-identified Christians, President Trump won 56% share of their votes and became the Christians, and because Christians represented 72% of voters who turned out their support for the re-election of the Republican, and this made a difference in the race. You know, I remember telling someone that largely, if the Christians were to step up their game this time around, and they did by prayer, I mean, as I told you, one of the nines about reports that witches ganging up, projecting and all that, said their projections this year isn't working because there's a lot of prayer backing up the man. You see, when Christians rise up, I mean, we are unstoppable. We are simply unstoppable. If we rise up in numbers and in prayer, we have the power. We have the spiritual power, and we have the numbers. If Christians decide to stand up for their rights and do what is right and what is needful, Christians can make a lot of changes in the society. I mean, the ills and the wrongs and everything in our society, if Christians really have to stand up and do and fight for the right, prayer, I mean, confronting evil, saying it as it is, from the pulpit to evangelism to, I mean, you see, the only problem, I remember one book that the author said, and I reflect on it and I agree he's right. He said the ills in a society, if it's supposed to be a Christian society, and there's evil and there's rot and there's corruption and all that, the problem, the blame goes solely to the Christians. And it's right. I mean, I agree perfectly, because if we say we are, I mean, 70% Christian or whatever population census numbers we claim we are, then we shouldn't be where we are as a nation. It should reflect. If we say we have this number as percentage as Christians, then it should reflect in our governance. It should reflect in the society. It should reflect in all that we see around. You see, so the problem of this nation can be attributed to the failure of Christians to rise up and do what is right, what is needful, to pray and all that we have to do as Christians. Live right, do what is right and all. If Christians are to do all these things, then this country will be on the right course. But because Christians have largely shirked their responsibility, we don't pray, we don't do what is needful. I mean, even in voting, you have Christians who don't see the importance of voting and all that. Then we always lose out. And I believe, see, this U.S. election is one classic example of identifying the needs and the importance of your faith and backing it up with the action. That is how Christians should see things. And I believe listeners of this program will also think that way and act that way. All right, so the program is Issues of Life. I'll be back after this interlude.
Is not in vain, for I found the living Christ. dressed up like an ant
because there are ants in the driveway and I need to tell them that they need to move before Dad comes home and drives over them.
Why don't you just pick them up and move them?
Because there's too many.
Why don't you just sweep them out of the way?
Because it'll hurt them.
Why don't you just squirt them away with water?
I tried that, but they just came back.
So why are you dressed up like an ant?
Because I want to be like Jesus.
Jesus didn't dress up like an ant.
Yeah, but he became a baby and grew up and told us that he loves us and that we need him.
When did he do that?
At Christmas time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to become an ant and tell them that they have to move before Dad comes home.
Can I help?
Yeah, you go get Dad's headphones and we'll glue some springs on for antennas.
Okay, then what?
Then you go tell them that I'm coming and then...
Hi, kids, I'm home.
No!
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.
Oh, interesting, interesting. All right, so welcome back to Issues of Life, and Pastor Roger will be joining us by phone soon as we talk a bit on the series we've been on. We've talked a bit to the challenges, bringing up children, the fear of God, in the Word of God, and we looked at Joseph. We've also looked at Deuteronomy. We looked at the consequences of failing to do what Deuteronomy was stating in Deuteronomy 6. The consequences are seen in Judges chapter 2. And tonight we are moving on as well. And I believe we are learning something as parents. You know, the challenges are real, but we have to do something about it. Hello, good evening.
Good evening, Ivan.
Okay.
Good evening, your cherished listener.
All right. Thank you for joining us this evening. And yeah, so today time is far spent. We have just about 23 minutes to round up and do something. So let's, proceed quickly because,
So today we are looking at Eli's children.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will only look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12.
Okay.
It says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. They knew not the Lord.
That's zero, so.
Then the verse 13 downwards to 13 to 17 will tell you what they did, or what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But we,
because of
for time, want of time, we just look at they knew not the Lord.
Yeah.
Number one, scripture is saying Eli's children. So scripture is telling us that it was not singular, but plural, which makes us not to be able to say it was one child. But scripture is saying that they knew not the Lord. Knowledge of the Lord is not passed on genetically, but it is passed on intentionally.
Yeah.
So their father was a good high priest, but it is not automatic that the children will be good servants in the house of the Lord. Because God cannot be known accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
God must be known intentionally.
Yeah.
I think Joshua 24, Joshua told them, choose this day whom ye will serve.
Yeah.
As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And then in that discourse, he talked about the gods of the Amorites, who were by the river side. The gods of the Amorites who were at the other side of the river. Why was he talking about the gods of the Amorites at the other side of the river? They had every opportunity to see those gods.
Yeah.
Maybe they were following God because it was time for battle and they knew that God would
deliver them,
will fight for them, or God will lead them to win. But Joshua was trying to tell us that every blessed day, we have to make it an aim to choose God. Mm-hmm. So God cannot be known accidentally. So if they did not know, the Bible said they knew not the Lord. That means they did not know God before they came into position.
Yeah.
So it was not the position that was coming to make them know, excuse me, know God. The position will expose your godliness. So we can see that it is not a team until there is a coach.
Yeah.
So Eli was a high priest, but failed as a coach. Why am I using the coach? The coach is both a trainer and a guide. The coach does not only train you during the week, but on the field of play, he also acts as a guide.
Yeah.
But when you read, it says in verse 22, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. 23. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. When you watch football and the person is not playing according to the coach's status, what does he do? He takes him out.
Yeah.
There are some no-nonsense coaches who you can even play 5 minutes and he'll take you out. That is why I'm using the coach for Eli and the coach as parent. That we are not only training our children, but we are also guiding them. Mm-hmm. Therefore, a parent must have a focused intent on seeing your child become a greater parent than you are now. It is not just letting your child be good, by letting them be greater than you are now. Mm-hmm. In the case of Eli, the children have grown and they have come into office. What was their behavior in the office? They could even say, if you don't allow us to take a portion of the flesh, we will force you and take it. So you could see that it started from somewhere.
Yeah.
It started from somewhere. The way your child lives will put your judgment on display. So how was he training his children? Bible never spoke about their early days. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Bible spoke about the time they were working. Mm-hmm. The way your child lives will put your leadership on the line. So Eli was a good high priest, but was he a good parent? The way your child lives will even put your very career as a parent on the line. Your very career. And why do I say your very career? When Samuel had the call, what did God say about him? When Samuel had the call, what did God say about the house of Eli? He says he will cut off. Even in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 33, says, and the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be to consume thy eyes and to grieve thy hand, and all shall see of thy house shall die. All the increase of thy house shall die in the flower of their age. So why will God not only judge the children, but will judge Eli. Because the way our children live will even put our very career as a parent on the line. So if their children could not be worthy servants, could not be worthy people in the house of God, it means that their father does not qualify to be a high priest, which is very serious. So when you pick a coach, when they are going for training or they are going for a football match, where does he sit? The coach sits at the front seat of the bus and not the back seat. Parents, if we can be coaches, we have to sit at the front seat. Why do I say he sits at the front seat? He sits there focused on what was going to happen next. It is time we take the front seat. We should be interested in everything that happens in the home. Many parents have become weekend party planners for their kids, leaving the weekday to ourselves. Weekend party planners. Daddy, this weekend, where are we going? Oh, we'll go here. We'll go here. We will do this. I'll go with you here. So everybody knows that you'll be working with your children. You go out with them. But during the week, you don't even have time. So who trains them or who takes care of them during the week? So we have become weekend party planners for our children, leaving the weekday to ourselves. What happens? What happens to our children? If we cannot take care of them during the week, would the weekend be able to solve everything? This is the case of Eli. The children saw their job, or they had their job description, but they did not know who they were serving. They knew that by the fact that, or by virtue of the fact that their father was a high priest, they also qualified to be what? To be servants in the house of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But they were not ready to know who they were about to serve. They did not care about their people. They did not care about God. And therefore, King James uses this hard word. They were sons of Belial.
Seriously.
I mean, they were evil. I want to list some things. We are all at fault. We are all learning. So we are learning to become good parents. If we can be great coaches, then one of the first things we must have a great vision. A great vision for the family. So one of the first things we need to ask ourselves, and as we are able to solve it, we'll be helping our family, is what is your family's vision? The moment Eli became a high priest, what was his family's vision? Today, you're also the high priest of your home. What is the vision of your home? How are we selling the vision to our children? How are we selling the vision to our children? Today, if we are not there, can our children continue with that vision? Can they continue with that vision? If they cannot continue, it means there is no vision. Did Eli's sons know that one day will be the high priest? Did they know that one day when our father passes on, it will be at 10. Did they know that when Aaron was first brought into the priesthood, it was his sons, Nadab and Abihu? And when they offered strange fire, God did what? God killed them. Did they know? Or it was because they have been born into that family, so they were just ready to also inherit. What were they going to inherit? Is it just their office, or they were going to inherit their office to serve God? So that was why judgment was coming on the Eli's house, because there must be succession planning. As parents, if today we happen to go out and not come back, what happens to our children? Can they continue? So you look at Eli's children and you come to see that they had lost their bearing. And when scripture also said they were sleeping with the women at the door of the tabernacle, and that means this was what they were doing. So everything they were doing, they brought it there. They didn't know that they have crossed a red line, or they are still within their green line. They never knew. So there was no vision. Why are you a family? Why are you a family? Are you a family because children were produced? Or you were a family because God placed you there a second time like this? Today we are hearing many things. We are having many news about our children. Sometimes when you sit down, ask yourself, is it pleasant? Why did Eli die when the children died when they took the ark? And the next question is, even when they picked the ark for the war, did they consult their father? That means everything about the priesthood, they did not know. Everything about the priesthood, they did not know. Bringing it into today, can we get to a point where we have children who become pastors but do not know God?
A serious issue.
Children who become pastors but do not know God. They became pastors because it was a family business.
Yeah, we'll meet to them.
So I'll continue life. Or they see it as it is a duty to fulfill, but they will never owe it as a duty to God. Brethren, if we look at what God told Samuel and what the other prophet also came to say about Eli's house, bringing it to your home, then if God decides to judge us, what happens to us? The Eli's case lets us know that whatever your children do, you as a parent, you suffer its consequences. We can even look at the sons of Eli and say they were grown up. But as far as they came from the loins of Eli, God still held Eli responsible. God still held Eli responsible. Maybe you will say, oh, I have done my best for the child. 10, 15 years. Oh, I've done enough. When he's 25 and he's messing up, they will mention your name. Come to think of it, those who will pass laws which are running contrary to even societal norms, would their parents not be asked about? Wouldn't they talk about their parents? Would they not say, this guy is behaving this way because he did not have a good parent? Brethren, the allies children issue brings us more things to think about. That parenting is not a one-day job. Parenting is not a one-day journey. It is not a one-off journey. Parenting is for life. Parenting is for life. Parenting is for life. Eli's children were grown up, but it was for life. They were grown up. And if God said, I will cut the house of Eli off today, how many homes will God cut off? Let's think about this. My home may be affected. Your home may be affected. Let us go back and look at it and see the best that we can do. Because parenting is not one day. Parenting is for life. Even I'll end it here.
Okay.
Because I've tried to sum it up within the time frame that we have.
Yeah.
That parenting is for us. It's for life.
You know, Proverbs 22:6 is very clear. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So you realize this is a spiritual principle. So if you see an old person who is anti-God, doesn't fear God, doesn't regard God, the question is, how was the foundation of that person? The problem is at the roots, the foundation. How did he grew up as a child? That's where the problem is. Because this is a spiritual principle. It's clear. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So when you see an old person who has departed from the good values and godly values, that means the training at the childhood stage is where the problem was. And this is a very serious challenge for parents, because that means you have people who say that, oh, the training, and all that. The foundation is where the real work is. So the childhood stage, you don't have to wait for them to grow before now we want to correct and amend ways. No. So the issue of childhood, getting through to the teens, is all the serious time to handle issues and solve problems before they become old and mature. Then now they are old oak woods that when you bend, it cannot bend. Then the harm has been caused already. See, so this principle of training up a child in the way they should go, I mean, there's no other way to put it again, as the Bible has said, training is a principle. If you do A, you reap A. If you sow A, reap, you sow, and you can't sow A and expect to reap B. No.
Let me just bring this one in. Yeah. We know the thick tree.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is used for electricity poles and the rest.
Yeah.
Everybody see the pole straight. So you think the tree is always straight. It is not like that. Every time the tree has to be pruned, and that is what will make it straight. Any thick tree that was not pruned and that was left on its own assuming it will be straight, you not go and see it straight, you not get electricity pole. So if you want the electricity pole, then you have to intentionally prune it. Parents, we have to intentionally prune. We have to intentionally put structures down. Yeah. There must be a vision for the home. We can't say, let them grow. Otherwise, we will not get the right pole.
Yeah.
If it is electricity pole, by the time we finish, we say all these big trees are good for nothing. Because the reason for growth, the reason why they were planted, will not be achieved.
Thank you. All right, so all too soon, time is up. Thank you, Pastor Roger, for joining us by phone. All right, so listeners, this is Eben, the program Issues of Life, and the station Spirit 88.3 FM. And thank you for tuning in this evening. It's recorded. It will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and the Telegram group Spirit Issues. And you can get to listen to it again and the previous edition on parenting. And I believe as we encourage ourselves, we admonish and teach and all discuss these things, we are learning something. Good night and God bless you.